New research has revealed that Māori, Pacific, Asian, as well as disabled and bisexual workers are disproportionately affected by bullying and harassment in the workplace. These findings have been published in the report Experiences of Workplace Bullying and Harassment in Aotearoa by Tikahui Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission. Conducted by Kantar Public, a national survey of Aotearoa New Zealand's workplace was undertaken to understand the prevalence of sexual harassment, racial harassment and bullying across the workplace. The survey found 30% of workers experienced sexual harassment in the last 5 years, 39% experienced racial harassment in the last 5 years, and 20% experienced bullying behaviour frequently in the last 12 months alone. Now, I spoke to the Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, Saunoa Malii Karanina Sumeo, and I started off by asking her about her thoughts on these findings. Here she is now.
It's disappointing. Certainly, if we look at all the publicity, you know, through the Me Too movement in terms of sexual harassment, if I think about all the work that the Human Rights Commission has done in the last, probably the last 5 years, in terms of, you know, countering racism, then there's been huge investment, you know, in terms of trying to eliminate these behaviours in the workplace. And so when I saw the figures, I was actually quite shocked that they were as high as they were. And one of the things that I asked the research for Kantar, so Kantar Public did the study for us, I also asked them to pay attention to young people, because the Human Rights Commission doesn't get many calls from young people. And what the research showed is that if you look at it by age, young people are the most victimized. And by young people, I'm talking about men and women between 18 and 29. Almost, you know, across all those categories by age, young people are the most vulnerable. So it is really alarming. And certainly, you know, when we're young, we're starting off in new jobs. You're not necessarily at that high end of the income. And so if you need to seek a lawyer to support, you know, not many young people have that sort of money to see that through. So I am concerned that that income barrier then becomes a contributor to silencing victims of bullying and racial and sexual harassment. So, you know, I appreciate talking with the station today.
And the research had also found that formal pathways for addressing harassment and bullying were both uncommon and, when accessed, often ineffective. Now, only 24% of workers also raised a formal complaint, but almost a third of workers chose not to tell anyone.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and that's why I'm really, really concerned for young people. So, you know, often our workplaces will say, but we have a policy. My response, well, the policy doesn't make you safe, or it doesn't mean that, you know, that your workers necessarily trust that they'll be respected. And that's what the findings say, you know. And, you know, we think, you know, a lot of the young, I've spoken to quite a number of young people who work in hospitality. And, you know, a lot of those places are small businesses. They're not large government departments or, you know, like Vodafone or those large businesses. They're actually small businesses. And the distance between the young worker and the senior, and I mean, what the research shows is most often, you know, the perpetrator of harassment or violence is someone with authority, the boss or a supervisor. There isn't a lot of distance between the young worker and the person who's committing the harm in a small, like a cafe or, you know, or a bar or something like that. And so we really need an independent voice, and that's what the research shows. You know, we need someone who's outside, who's not worried about protecting the reputation of the business, but actually looking, you know, looking objectively at the complaint. So that's one of the things that the people are calling for. And then again, I'm thinking about our young people in terms of the jobs that we have. If you've got a case that ends up going through MBN and ends up going through the employment court, that can take a few years. You need to have the money to sustain yourself and also pay for your lawyer. And I'm concerned that in terms of access to justice, that again will be a barrier for our young people. So again, you know, I'm not surprised that they're not reaching out to these formal pathways, because you still got to survive and pay your rent, and your life is already hard enough for young people, especially students who are working and studying at the same time. So at a structural level, there are huge barriers to us addressing this. It's not just making sure that the workplaces are safe and there's a culture of trust. We also got to make sure that those formal mechanisms have built-in support to, in terms of financial support for people reaching out for help. So it's a huge problem, and we needed to see the research and to actually have the data, and especially for young people, because I specifically asked for a focus on young people. We now have the data to give them voice, because if you look at complaints that are made by young people to formal mechanisms, it doesn't look like there's a problem. This study clearly indicates a huge problem.
Well, I'm reading here that there's calls for the government, businesses and unions to collaborate more or less now, quite urgently, and really critically review our accident compensation and health and safety at work laws.
Absolutely. That's our target. Certainly in terms of bullying, we need a definition in our legislation, and we'll be calling on government to consider ratifying International Labour Organization Convention 190, which provides that definition for violence and harassment, which includes any unacceptable acts, you know, that result or may result in harm. And that harm can be physical, psychological, sexual and economic. So, you know, if we have a definition like that, which is really quite clear, it's internationally recognized in our laws, then it'll make it easier for someone to reach out and get that support. At the moment, because there's no definition, we've got a work safe definition for bullying, for example, that requires it to be a repeated action. Actually, if someone's harmed once, you don't want that repeated, you know, to be considered harmful. So we really need to look at those definitions, and then we need to look at our compensation. You know, for example, if you or I have an accident, you know, at work, you know, there's supports there. You know, if you can't work for so many weeks, there's financial support there. At the moment, no one can, you know, if someone's being harmed sexually or psychologically, those harms aren't visible. And so it's really the onus then is on the young person to prove that they're being harmed. That's not fair. That's a real, that becomes an access to justice, access to health issue. And both of those are fundamental rights. So we do need to bring our governments together, bring our workplaces together. But the other thing that we can do immediately, Joe, one of the other really important findings from the study is bystanders. And so those are people who witness what's going on around, witness what's going on to someone who's been victimized. Especially in bullying, 44% of people who were in the survey said that they had witnessed or were aware of those behaviors going on around in their workplace. So therefore, you don't have to be a victim to be able to call out for help. If you're witnessing something that isn't right in your workplace and you feel it isn't right, it probably isn't right. So this is just to give us permission for those who are witnessing to stand up for their colleagues who are often disempowered. They're already suffering trauma and can't speak for themselves. You know, let's take the responsibility of standing up for our colleagues and approaching, you know, the management or whoever's in charge to act and stop the behavior there, and then don't let it continue. So that's something that we can all do right now. Meanwhile, we will be lobbying for change, talking to our business allies to please come together, come with the unions. And that's the other thing, Joe, the majority of people who filled in this survey do not belong to unions. And I don't know how many of our student body or, you know, our young graduates belong to unions. So my suggestion is consider, you know, joining a union so you have that voice to support you and you're not fighting this by yourself, because it's expensive psychologically, emotionally, and it's also expensive materially.
That was the Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, Saunoa Ma'ali'i Karanina Sumeo, speaking on the high prevalence of workplace bullying and harassment. Jess, I believe you have an advancement on the story.
Yes, so next up, I spoke to Caitlin Wilson from the Young Workers Resource Centre about why young people in particular are more likely to be on the receiving end of workplace bullying and harassment. Here's that interview.
I think young people are affected more by things like workplace bullying and harassment for a couple of reasons. One is often when they are in a new workplace, they're taking the example of the others that they're working with, right? So they'll go to somebody like their work auntie and say, hey, this is going on, what's the deal? I don't feel comfortable about this. And they'll sort of get told by those that have been there forever that, oh, that's just the way it is. Just suck it up and deal with it, right? That's one of the reasons why often that they're not brought up. The other reason is we have this very interesting rhetoric that your boss knows everything and you should just listen to them because they know what's best. And the reality is that most bosses don't actually know what the laws are.